Jackson, son of a Revolutionary War hero. He's from the North, but he was pro-slavery. They thought this was going to work. 2 months before this is crazy. 2 months before his inauguration, he and his family were in a train crash, and the only casualty was his 11-year-old son.
Damn.
So his entire time in office, he's blacked out, drunk, and depressed. He's the saddest guy of all time. He's not listening. His kid just died. His wife blamed him for the death constantly. She was like, we should have never been on that train. You just had to be the fucking president.
Oh, well, you gave birth to him, bitch.
Yeah. You didn't have to do that. You were on the train. You were. You had fun.
Yeah, dude. Fuck.
So he's there. During Pierce, they do the Transcontinental Railroad. This is like the real, this is a fuck up for the North wants it to be from Chicago to LA or one of those places out west. The South wants it to be from Atlanta to LA. In order to get it done, they have to get rid of the Missouri Line Compromise, which made it nothing north or south of here. It was the slave line. They decided to make it so every new territory got to decide themselves. They got to vote in order to get the Transcontinental Railroad. So this opened.
Every single thing we did to build this nation ran into this slave problem.
Yes.
Every single thing we tried to do was like, yeah, but the fucking north-south slave, fucking slave states, non-slave states.
Jesus.
We need to build a railroad across. That's the first interstate thing. The first interstate objective.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that you need a federal government. It's why we started, the federal government got stronger and stronger. Because every state gets to do their own thing, but you want to take a fucking train from one to the other, you guys, these two states have to make a compromise. Yeah. So you needed a federal government to make these.
It was like the precursor to union, non-union. They just blow up a gigantic like flammable rat.
Yeah. 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 The other reason, just as general thing, that the federal government became, what gave the federal government power was the states wanting parity with each other. Like when environmental laws became a thing, they were state laws. So like Indiana would make a law, you can't dump, you know, sludge into the river anymore. So every company in Indiana has to pay extra to do a better job of dumping their shit and take it to the ocean or somewhere else, ruin somebody else's life.
Yeah.
But so next door to Indiana is Illinois, and they're like, we dump anything we want.
Yeah.
And so all the business goes there. Mm-hmm. And so the Illinois company's like, we don't want to dump. We don't want to hurt the environment, but we can't compete with these guys.
Yeah.
Right? So they would go all the states would go to the Fed and say, please pass a law that affects everybody so that we can all do the right thing that we want to do without having to get squeezed out by this guy.
Yeah.
And that worked until we started doing shit with Mexico and India and China. But anyway, go on.
But yeah, it was interesting to me. We're at I think Pierce, right? On the Transcontinental Railroad.
Yeah.
That turns out to be like, that's what started it. I mean, obviously there's a ton of major factors, but that was like a big one because it opened what was called the Nebraska-Kansas Act, which is they got to decide to vote whether they were pro slave or pro abolition. So then a bunch of people just rushed in
from the
north and
up.
The south, and they started fucking killing each other.
What?
It was I forget the names. They were pretty sick. It was like the Free Staters versus the Border Ruffians. This is where John Brown and his son was out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They started hacking people with swords to death. Like,
Jesus.
That was it. And Franklin Pierce was like, he did nothing. He didn't get involved.
Yeah, but dude, it must have been crazy when you had a bunch of slaves. Like, this is wrong. You had to be like, nah.
No.
It's been crazy to be like, no, I don't think it is.
Well, you just would pretend not to, or you just wouldn't. I mean, you'd see it on the newspaper was faded, and it was like, I don't know that much about it.
Just not being able to go down.
I'm
with
okay
that
to my slaves. I treat them okay.
Yeah, they're great.
True.
Yeah.
Right? Tell them.
That's
right. Like, oh yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he was all right. No, it's fine. No, and meanwhile, the North was starting to get. This is getting after Pierce is who?
Buchanan.
So Buchanan is the guy who right before Lincoln.
Yes.
Right. Because the other thing that was going on is the North is industrializing, and the North is starting to build sweat houses and factories. And so part of the argument that people were having that is like the kind of argument we would have now. If it would be interesting to take this culture with Twitter and everything and supplant it to slavery days and how we would have handled that debate back then.
True.
Because there were people that were saying, you know, the North has free workers and a ton of them immigrants that had started. and they're treated like garbage. They're living like shit, and they're dying in large numbers and getting sick, uneducated, and being not allowed to be educated. Yeah. Kids are working heavy, long shifts. There's a ton of
southern political cartoons that are like that.
That are about how bad they were. And like our slaves are like a member dancing. Of the family.
Yeah.
We give them their own house with their plot of land. They get to do this and that. We, you know, most slave owners were better. That this is the argument, and that the North was just like wholesale destroying lives.
Yeah.
And you know, read what's his name, fucking Upton Sinclair. The what shit was going on in Chicago and the slaughterhouses. Meat?
What's it called?
It's
about the meatpacking shit, right?
Yeah.
The jungle. What's it called?
The jungle.
Yeah. So another important thing about that point of the industrialization of the North, it just flooded with immigrants. So now their population's so big that they get more votes, they get more electoral count, like all that. So now the South's like, we need to get power. We need more states. We need more states. Because otherwise they're going to abolish slavery and we're going to be poor.
But they're also hanging on to a way of life in the South. Yeah. And in the North, they're not. They're trying to do anything that's new and anything that's next and anything that's large amounts of money and large amounts of industry. And they're manufacturing in huge amounts. In the South, they're just trying to play a fiddle and whip a guy and grow a little tuft of cotton for one shirt every 6 months.
Yeah, true. It's a thing to point out.
Yeah. It's important to know.
True. Yeah, but that was the fight. It was an insanely different... Yeah. But we still wanted to be one country. We wanted to be one country. So it was this weird conflict that never went away. So
does it continue to morph till now? It's just like some dudes. It does. Like, chill, we are. Heart, and other dudes like, no, we need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of tough. But
so what's his name?
Now we're at James Buchanan, who's probably the worst.
Yeah, he was frozen by two. He had so much pressure.
He was a lawyer from Pennsylvania that was just about the law.
Yeah.
Which was the last thing he needed to be as the president, which was like, well, that's the rule.
But he had all of Lincoln's problems with none of his charisma and guts.
Yeah.
And blood.
That was, you know, crazy. James Buchanan had the Dred Scott.
Willingness to kill.
Dred Scott was under James Buchanan, which was where, if you don't know about that, that was about a slave living in free territory, and he was suing to get his freedom. Mm-hmm. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they ruled he was an object, so he was not a citizen. Therefore, that ruling made sure every black person in America was an object and not a citizen. And, Buchanan responded by saying, that's the law. That settles it. Instead of standing up. Right. He just had to follow the law.
Yeah.
So he was just like an extension of the court.
Yeah.
That wasn't his job.
Yeah.
Man, that's.
And
sucks.
That brought us to Lincoln. And as soon as Lincoln gets elected, the South secedes.
Yeah. Every state starts to say, we're not America anymore. Like immediately before he takes office.
It's also crazy checking in on the headlines and you're like, nah, they said you're a chair basically, and you're like, fuck.
Fuck. You got Lincoln though. You know Lincoln.
Well, we could maybe skip him because it'll be the whole fucking
We could stop. I mean, look, stop with Lincoln. Let's stop with Lincoln. And then you go on to some guys you're interested in after Lincoln.
All right.
Yeah, we're good. We can go as long as we want.
Been talking for
an hour.
Okay.
Well, you're not enjoying this? You're not having the time of your life?
I'm having a great time.
I knew you would. This is nice, right?
I'm not having a great time.
You're not having a great time.
No, I'm not. I hate this.
Decent time?
Really?
No, I'm having a good time.
How much fun?
You decide which one. the thing I liked about, I mean, I gave you that book about Lincoln. Yeah. That's a great, what's his name? Carl Sandburg. It's a weird kind of stream of consciousness telling of Lincoln's story in four volumes. It's crazy. Just the warriors, just from when he took office. And when he was coming here, there was everything, hell was breaking loose, and there was supposed to be a January 6th. There was supposed to be one.
What?
There was a plan to stop the certifying of the vote. Mm-hmm. And so they went to what was his name? He was the only American general then, because we didn't fight wars anymore.
Yeah.
So the army was kind of like not...
I think he was the commander.
It's a name you just know when you hear started. Like Scott something.
Oh, yeah, Winfield Scott.
Winfield Scott.
Yes.
Perfect.
So they went to Winfield Scott, the guys running the government, and then they said, we think there's going to be this thing where they're going to try to stop the... So he said, if anyone... He made a declaration publicly. He said, if anyone tries to stop the counting of the votes and the democratic process from happening, either by force or by infiltration, I will stuff them into my cannon and fertilize my lawn with them. That's what he
Lincoln
said.
Lincoln said that?
That's what he said.
What?
No, and, Winfield Scott.
Oh, Winfield Scott
yeah,
said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but and what he did in real fact, because he was a really smart guy, he gave all of the Capitol police and all those guys that they had the day off. He said, go home. And he went and got policemen from Baltimore, from New York City, all kinds of like badass cops. Mm. And he had them in plain clothes all over the Capitol, heavily, all heavily armed, but in plain clothes. So, and people knew, so if somebody started something, the guy would just go like this or elbow him or whatever. Yeah. But the appearance was that it was peaceful and that there was no military presence.
Whoa.
But nothing happened. That's what it took to get Lincoln. Everybody, up to the minute that happened, everyone was like, I don't know if he's ever going to take office. Yeah. People believed he would never be president.
Dude, he wasn't even on the ballot in the southern states. Not even on the ballot.
Yeah.
What?
He didn't win one southern state.
A lot of people, big, big people who would be like whoever now, wrote long things saying, don't take office. Your presidency, your victory is hollow. Mm-hmm. It's not real. Not even just people from the South, but people from the North. Everyone was afraid that Lincoln was going to just immediately free the slaves and start war with the South. And his first inauguration, he says, First thing out of his mouth is, I have no intention of freeing the Southern slaves or changing their slave laws. And yes, we will chase down and bring you back your slaves when they come up here within reason. He puts like a tiny thing of like, we're not going to like make it our obsession, but we will do it. Like, so it's the first thing out of his mouth.
So it bothers me about people, like people that are critics of him hang on to that. And they're like, you know, Lincoln didn't want to do it. It's like, dude, the whole time, that's what he wanted.
Of course he did. That's what, again, it goes all the way back to the framers. They all wanted this to be a better country than it was. So they knew they couldn't create a nation without slavery. Mm-hmm. So they said, let's create a nation where people can change peacefully. They can change not only leadership, but the laws. Create a situation where people figure it out for themselves and move forward and change, instead of like a constitution could have been a very permanent thing. It could have been a very solid permanent thing, but they actually made it elastic on purpose. And that's, Lincoln was like, we'll do it, guys. Yeah. We'll do it. We need some fucking time. And boy, what it cost is crazy. And a lot of people who didn't want slavery were really angry at Lincoln for how hard he pushed that war, and that he didn't just settle it. Just let the South do whatever they want. We have our free blacks here. Mm-hmm. Let them take their chances down there. You're killing millions, or however many fucking, I don't know how many people it was. Like quarter of a million people died in the Civil War.
Yeah, probably around there.
Something like about how many we killed in Iraq in a day.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
True. Yeah. For doing nothing.
Less than Middle Eastern civilians.
Yeah. Measure it like Persian weddings.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, it was... Yeah, Lincoln's the best.
It was really something. I mean, it just took a lot of political guts, a lot of, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This is going to suck. Just
trying to talk to these fucking cunts from the South.
That must be nice.
That it's just like, clearly this is for money. You know it's wrong.
Yep.
You know it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's 1865.
Well, it was the ultimate time.
1860. They know it's wrong.
Well, and folks not wanting to say that shit's wrong.
Yeah.
And him, like, not making them say it, but getting them to just one guy at a time. Mm-hmm. He would just go around, get support here, get support there, put muscle in where he had it. And he fought a brutal, brutal war, a fucking incessant war.
And he had to wait until he got a victory to fucking announce the Emancipation Proclamation.
He was
trying so hard to get it out, but his generals kept fucking up and losing.
Oh, I was like, fuck.
And he would just be writing to these dudes like, go.
Yeah, please.
Do
get,
it.
Get one.
Get one. Like, I think he wrote it after Antietam, which was like a draw.
he was like, that's pretty good. Yeah, he did.
He's like, that's close enough. Here we go.
So then he's shot.
Yeah, and then he got his fucking head blown off.
Next to his wife.
Yeah.
And they put a little napkin, but that was what they did for him. They put a little napkin back there and hoped, but it was not a good. It was not a very.
He was alive for a while after.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. He didn't just die right away.
He didn't have to die at all.
Yeah.
He didn't die right away.
Really?
Yeah.
Bled to death.
He was like alive in the hotel for like a day.
And they're like, we don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. What play was he saying? Does anyone know?
Fuck, I do know.
What
play?
What was the play? It was at the Ford's Theater.
I don't remember the.
See what he was watching.
Yeah, it was something good.
Yeah.
He was fixated.
He was into it.
He didn't Hamilton. Notice the assassin.
That was a weird thing. It was Hamilton.
Yeah, it was a Hamilton. Yeah. He was sitting there like, what was it? Nice. He was sitting there watching it like, I got to pretend to like this.
Yeah.
It was fucking Hamilton.
And then they shot him. He was like, thank God.
This place sucks.
Christ, this shit sucks so bad. So that brings us to Johnson.
So who, Johnson was great. first guy to be impeached.
Was what? He impeached? Oh, yeah.
First guy to be impeached, yeah.
Johnson shows up. This is great. He was like a tough guy. He was supposed to be the counteraction to Lincoln.
Well, he's one of the reasons the war was prolonged, because everybody knew if we could just get rid of Lincoln, Johnson was behind him with, there was a deal to be made. It was like, don't talk outside the family. He was like, Sonny legged my deal, didn't he? Sonny was half of my deal. Yeah. Johnson would have fucking settled in a minute.
Johnson started his life as an indentured servant.
No shit.
And worked his way up. How sick is that?
That's impressive.
And then before his inauguration, he got fucked up on whiskey and just couldn't talk. His inauguration. It was in the rain and the mud right after Lincoln got shot.
Well,
and everyone
was the
like,
first one. He's the one who proved you can impeach a president, but you cannot get the fucking votes. It's a waste of time, and he ends up stronger.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest move in the world. It's it's vanity.
Yeah.
It's just Congress hates the president. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't accomplish anything. They I don't remember why they went after him, whatever. He was very corrupt. He's a fucked up guy. Who knows? It's all shit that I heard because of them. But they impeached him and then failed to get rid of him.
Really?
I know nothing else about him. But
I don't know either.
But then fucking
Grant.
Amazing guy.
Great guy. Amazing guy. I feel like his presidency was a bit of a fucking letdown for how cool he was.
I mean, he did so Christing much, this guy.
Oh, Grant. True. To help the South, he was pretty good.
What'd he do?
Well, first of all, some people get on him because he owned one slave.
Oh, man.
Because his father-in-law, his wife's father,
yes,
hated him because he was an abolitionist. I mean, he wasn't like an active abolitionist.
Sure.
But he was against slavery just for not having a slave. Yeah. Back then, if you didn't have a slave, you were a dick to certain people. So
you were like, put on a mask.
Yeah.
You were that guy. You were like, why do you have slaves?
Yeah.
And they're like, why is this guy making me feel uncomfortable?
Yeah. So he hated him because he had slaves and he didn't want one. So he gave him one for as a wedding present, like to spite him.
What a dick.
Yeah. So
Jesus.
So Grant made the guy his partner. And they started a little business together, which he then freed the guy and gave him the business.
Yeah.
He would go
work with the slaves. But he'd be out there with them working.
Yeah.
While he was like financially ruined,
yeah,
he freed his slaves instead of selling them.
But he had one, though?
I'm not sure. He might have had one at
that
point.
That's the story I just told you. Yeah. Is, I think, his slave story. I don't think he had a bunch of them.
He had one slave and he freed him instead of selling him.
But his father-in-law.
And he gave him a business that he had started with him.
Yeah, his father-in-law, history fucked him. He was like,
That's right.
Here's
and then he was in the army.
Absolutely.
He was in the army and he went, one of his first jobs was outpost near San Francisco. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was in the desert of California. Mm. He was the only one there. And he was a family man. He loved his family.
He missed his bed.
His family so much and he started just getting drunk. And somebody came to drop the mail and found him passed out drunk. And that was his only experience with alcohol. He was a very rigidly living guy. And he was thought known as a drunk for the rest of his life.
Really?
There's arguments.
Every time he had a political problem, they'd go, he's drinking.
There's arguments. There's rumors he was fucked up at Shiloh.
Because he sat under a tree in the rain. They found him sitting under a tree in the rain outside of a military hospital.
It also is funny because Shiloh, he woke up on day two of it.
Yeah.
At like the start of day two. Or maybe it was the start of day one when it started. He was late to get there. So everybody was like, he was hammered. But if he was hammered, that's very funny. To be like, oh shit, there's a war.
He had won the Civil War. Started really Reconstruction, he was in earnest wanting to get opportunities and equity for Black people, equal opportunity for Black people. And then he retired and was in New York, he became a New Yorker, he became a big part of this city.
Yeah.
And he had a son named Kermit, who I think his name was Kermit. Who, that was the 1800s.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Kermit invested.
What a fucking great name.
Invested his money and all of his father's money with some asshole guy who took it and just left town and just took all of their money, every penny that they had. And so Grant went to visit Vanderbilt, who's outside of the Grand Central Station. There's a great statue of him. I think it was Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Went to the richest man in New York City, who was a hard ass, a guy who didn't care for charity or anything. But he brought his, he brought, what's his name? The sword that was, Lee. Well, Robert, he had Robert E. Lee's sword that he surrendered to him. What? He had his Congressional Medal of Honor and the Bible that he was, that he took the oath of office in. And he gave them, he said, I want to sell these to you because I have no money. And Vanderbilt said, Jesus Christ, yeah, Mr. President.
Holy shit.
We're not doing that. He said, I'm going to donate these to the National Museums and I'll give you a, you know. Like, he bought them for the nation.
Did he buy his biography? Isn't that what he...
No, so here's
he
what happened with the biography. It's the best part of his story. And it's actually his greatest legacy. But his biography, his autobiography is like the greatest ever written. Yeah. So he met two guys on a train. He'd do anything for money at this point. His wife was very young. He was broke. Two guys after everything he'd been through. He was broke and his wife was young and he was going to leave her destitute. So he met two guys on a train. They're like, why don't you write your autobiography? We'll pay you $1,000. And he was like, done.
What? Oh,
so then about a week later, he meets up with Mark Twain was like his best friend. Mm. And Mark Twain said, why don't you write your autobiography, your memoirs? And he said, I'm doing that for these guys. And he goes, what are they paying you? And he goes, $1,000. And he's like, dude, what is wrong with you? And he says, give me the book. I'll publish. Because Mark Twain had started his own publishing company because he hated publishers. He said, I'll publish it and I'll help you write it. And he said, I promise those two guys. He's like, did you sign something? He goes, no, but I did. I gave my word.
Fuck.
So Twain, or his real name, what's his name?
Clemens.
Clemens. Yeah. Goes, travels to, I think he went to see Sherman. He went to see, he's like, I need to see somebody who trusts, who, you know, he'll listen to. So he went to visit Sherman and said, please get him to do this. So Sherman wrote a telegram to Grant saying, for the love of God, give the book to Clemens. that's what the thing is.
That's awesome.
So he wrote his autobiography, and the remarkable thing about it that I read was that there's like no adjectives in it. It's like all verbs and nouns. The entire book is verbs and nouns because he just says what happened. It's a very well-written book. And so Clemens turned it into this special edition that you had to order one. You could get any color you wanted. And it was the first blockbuster book in American history. It made like $500,000 in the first month. Meanwhile, he had a goiter that was growing and growing.
Three stogies. You always see him with the stogies?
Yeah. Died of throat cancer like right as he finished the book.
Whoa.
And then his wife was made for life. Her first check from Twain was like $400,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think he wasn't he buried here? And
yes.
This monument.
And he's buried in Grant's tomb on the in Harlem. And when he died, there was this huge funeral, and it was Northern and Southern soldiers. Southern soldiers were allowed to put back on their Southern uniforms because it was a big thing that his casket was carried by North and South.
It's too bad you can never get away with wearing a Confederate uniform in Harlem these days.
No.
Because that would
get
be a
away
treat.
With.
Yeah, but he was fucking awesome at the when Lee surrendered, he was very like, I mean it was unconditional surrender. Mm-hmm. So he was like, you guys are gonna fucking give up, but he was like, keep your guns, go home, start rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Like he could have fucking destroyed the South.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was very chill. I think Custer stole the fucking sword. He hated Custer. I think Custer stole Lee's sword.
Is
maybe he got it back. But I think the story was Grant wouldn't accept it or something along
wanted
those
him
lines.
To keep it?
And
yeah, Custer was bloodthirsty guy.
And then on the parade back into Washington, Grant was obviously out front. Custer fucking rode ahead. And Grant was like, this motherfucker. Custer was the man.
Blonde hair.
You look at, if you look into Custer, he was pretty fucking cool.
I don't know much about him.
He fucked up Jeb Stuart at Gettysburg, which was pretty cool because Jeb was the man. And he rode in. He was with the Michigan Cavalry, and he was like, come on, you Wolverines, and fucking led them into a charge. That's why they're the Michigan Wolverines, all that shit.
So then you got Hayes, who undid all of this cool stuff for black people.
It's all
and politically,
very...
just he didn't want to get deal with it, so he just did away with it. And then you got fucking who else? Then it goes
Garfield.
Then I get bleary.
Yeah, this is all. This is like the Gilded Age, is what it's called. It's all shit.
Yeah,
but this is where shit like it goes from we ended slavery to now, just right back into just racism.
Really?
Not slavery, but just every law against them.
Subjugation. Just like just every. It became the same obsession as before.
Yeah.
But without slavery, it just became all about not letting them vote, keep them off the
And that goes all the way up until like now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we're
just yesterday. 2018. We figured it out yesterday.
We figured it out yesterday. Thank God. Yeah. Finally, Arkansas.
We got a nice little nation here.
Yeah. Louisiana cleaned up their act a little.
True.
And Alabama.
My favorite president, just jumping way the fuck ahead, is Nixon is my favorite.
Dude, he's awesome.
He's the best. And again, as a character.
Yes.
Nixon gave the country one great gift that I wish was like, I wish it was taught like the speech that Lincoln has on his monument and the ask not what your country and all that shit. The greatest thing that he did, because it speaks more to what Americans live, is that when Nixon was shamed and destroyed and had to leave office, he had to fucking resign. He had to give after a couple of I'm not a crook and this is all bullshit, he had to go and say, well,
all
right, I'm gonna go and
still not a crook, but I'm gonna get out of here.
Gerald Ford would take the oath of office at this time in this office, and he left. But before he left, he gave a speech to his staff, to the White House staff, that was impromptu. It was just on his way to the to the helicopter, and he's just and he's copiously crying in the speech. There's video of it that you can see. You have to try to find the whole thing because there's clips that you can find on YouTube. But I actually ordered from C-SPAN a DVD of the whole speech, and they're all bawling. The whole staff and his family standing behind him, and he just tells them, "Look, don't." He's encouraging them. He said, this is a tough moment for all of us. He said, first of all, I don't want to encourage, I don't want to discourage young people from taking, from being in public service. He was afraid of what would happen. Yes.
He was right.
He said, don't be discouraged from public office. It's a great calling. And he said, and for any mistakes that we made and all the everything that's happened, not one person in this administration, gained financially from anything, from being here, left richer than when they got here. He made it first, so he defended everybody that was there. And then he just starts reflecting. He reads from Teddy Roosevelt's autobiography, from his diary, when Teddy's wife and mother died at the same night. They both died of cholera or whatever on the same night. He was going from one room to the other.
Oh, yeah.
And they both died. And he was like 21 or something. And he wrote this quote that was like, the light has gone out and it'll be darkness forever. And he said, so he read it to his staff and he said, that's how he felt having lost his wife and his mom. And he went on and had this incredible life. So he's trying to say, don't. So he says, no, don't be discouraged. Never be petty. Don't hate your enemies. Because that's when you'd start to destroy yourself. He gets really introspective about everything that happened without talking about it. And then he says, it's horrible. He goes, they'll never write a book about my mother, but she was a saint.
Oh, man.
And I think of her, like one of his brothers had tuberculosis and they had no money. So she moved to Arizona where the air was better. Mm. And she was a nurse, a wet nurse. She nursed other people's babies for money in order that her son could live in Arizona. And he talks about his father, who was a lemon farmer, who had a failing lemon farm. And then he was a switchman on a streetcar. And he just talks about his parents and what they did for him and all that shit. He just cries. Oh, it was, it's fucking beautiful, but it shows you a man at the height of American experience, destroyed from that height, which is the worst thing that can happen to a person, is to get that high and fall. And he just went, here's how this feels. He just told the world, this is how this feels. This is what this looks like.
Yeah.
And here's all I can say. And then he went and then he left. Incredible. I mean, he was one of the most influential people in American history.
Yeah. He ended Vietnam, right?
Yes.
That was already about
done.
He
was fucking Eisenhower's vice president.
There's a guy we know that's a bit of a conspiracy guy, mm-hmm. but he's been pretty correct on everything so far, and he's got a book coming out on Watergate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about how that was more, it was a little darker than it seemed.
Like, so his opponents. Knew a guy back when I was first living in the city as a comedian. There was a guy named Frank Gannon who had Frank Gannon wrote speeches for Nixon and was a very close friend of his. And weirdly, he became the guy who books the comedians on Letterman. And when I moved to New York back in 1990 or so, being on Letterman was all anybody wanted. So Gannon was the most important person in comedy at the time. And he was a strange guy who was very serious. And he would just come and he'd watch you. And if he liked you, he'd get Morty to come and maybe you'd be on the show. So he liked me. He never got me on the show. But he liked me. So I went to Letterman's office and met him. And I asked him about Nixon because he wrote, Nixon has one big biography called RN that Gannon co-wrote. And he told me that when you get a few drinks in Nixon, he says, the same people that got the Kennedys got me. It's the same,
really?
Same people that got, yeah, he said it's the same machine that took out John
that was
and
what
Robert
Kennedy.
Came after him. He said they just couldn't use bullets anymore because it was getting too, they were
that's
on
exactly
to
what we said. This is we said that without
and
him.
Watergate was, he said Watergate was something that happened all the time. It was just like, and still does. I mean, it's not like, oh my goodness. It's how things are done.
Yeah,
it's a safe with $1 million in it. What president doesn't have a safe with $1 million?
It was
so that's Nixon's story. That was Nixon's story. He didn't say it in public,
sure,
because the same as he conceded the presidency to Kennedy, which Kennedy stole. I mean, everyone knows that his father took suitcases of money to delegations and stole the presidency, and Nixon knew it. And he was like, I'm not going to, this is not good for the country to get into it. That's why he resigned instead of standing trial. And that's why he didn't talk about that. That's the story, you know?
Yeah. That's a good, most interesting president.
Most interesting, I think, to me. Yeah. I mean, Johnson was also a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Johnson was, and Reagan was kind of an empty headed genius, incredible, knows how to just be. As long as somebody else is in the room, Reagan was brilliant. But I'm not sure he had any thoughts. You know what I mean? There's people like that.
Yeah, he was like an actor that was like, I guess I'll be a Republican while he was there. And then, which was pretty admirable at the time because he was, actually no, it wasn't because that was in the middle of the Red Scare. He was like one of the guys being like, you're a communist. Yeah. He just became the man.
My favorite film of Reagan is Larry King interviewing him after he was shot and saying, so what do you feel about this guy? And he said, well, I just pray for him. He's a sick man. He's just, you know, I found out later that he's sick. He's mentally ill. So we add him to our prayers. And we hope him for the best for him. And he says it with his big
smile.
Like, we're fucking that guy up.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing good.
Yeah.
He's doing great.
Yeah.
I think that should be it, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's
that
about
was
enough.
Fun,
you had fun.
Yeah, it was a good. Why do you get accusing me of having fun? Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for doing it, man.
Sure. Thanks for asking.